It's a cool summer night, and you're working the night shift at a South Dakota junkyard. When an eerie sensation drifts between the rows of totaled cars and forgotten tragedies. But it's not the wind making the towers of crushed steel squeak that sent a shiver down your spine. It's the lights on in the van that you know you turned off. It's the sudden, sickening feeling that you're being watched. But mostly, it's the cold grip of an unseen hand slowly tightening around the collar of your shirt. From transdimensional gas stations on the Nebraskan interstate to phantom polar bears creeping from your closet, join us as we sift through the salvaged parts of the stories kept hidden in the dark, the true and terrifying encounters with the inexplicable and the unknown.
Conspiracy.
Synchronicity.
Sasquatch.
Homunculus.
Alien races.
Satanism in Hollywood.
MK Ultra.
Tartaria.
There's like a whole... I've been watching this one guy that...
Close the door, Ed.
Jury!
In.
Close your door!
What's the,
Inner Earth. Disagreements.
Ghost Dad.
I like that movie.
Dogman.
Bohemian Grove.
Corey Feldman.
Magicians are demons.
Spectres.
Spirit summonings.
Paralysis.
Strange disappearances.
Sky whale phenomenon.
Yes. Alternative history.
Shadow people.
Shh, quiet, I'm trying to say words with the mouth.
It's getting dicey out there.
Poltergeists.
That's cool.
Anunnaki.
What is the moon?
Elf towers.
I would never talk about it. That's old.
Y2K.
Cover-ups.
Apocalyptic catastrophe.
Vampire.
Vampire. Aw, yeah.
Well, hello, hello.
Hi. Shaking bacon.
What's shaking bacon? My heart. My heart is shaking.
Welcome to be here, everybody.
Yes. I'm Jeremy.
I'm John.
And I'm Chris. And we are the brothers of the Belief Hole. And we are excited. Yes, we are here today to tantalize and terrify you.
Yes.
With some true, strange listener stories.
Hey, YouTube. YouTubers, hit that like button.
Yes. I'm excited.
Good.
You should be. These stories keep getting better and better. The stories you guys are sending us, your SpeakPipes listener stories, the quality, the caliber.
Yeah, people are really coming out of the woodwork to share these crazy stories.
Yeah. Yeah, I think when you have, when people feel like they have a safe place to share strange stories and they're not just getting mocked at the Thanksgiving dinner table or something, you know, you start to get... Only Thanksgiving. More people submitting.
Belief Hole is your safe space.
That's right. Your strange safe place. Anyway, today we've got some really unique ones coming up. We've got Nebraskan transdimensional gas stations.
Uh-huh.
We've got junkyard demons.
Yes.
They're always great.
That's a great story.
We've got night watchman wraiths.
Oh, yeah.
And phantom polar bears in the closet.
So
very, you know, like we always say, love a good ghost story.
Yeah.
Love a good UFO visitation, but really love the unique stories. We had some really unique stories on the last Strange Listener Stories episode.
Yeah, they've definitely been getting more, like, I do like that.
Yeah, because there's a lot of weird stuff out there, and sometimes it's hard to categorize and put it in a box. So I like the ones that sometimes you just can't fit in a particular place. And speaking of categorization, for any researchers out there, We're building an archive and it's live now where you can actually look through different categories, find dates, locations for corroboration.
Yeah, cross-corroborate the strange out there at beliefhole.com.
Just link back to us if you happen to use something.
Yeah, we would appreciate that.
Be most helpful.
Yes. Cool. All right, let's slide into the hole.
Ew. It's the least of the innuendos that are bad.
By the way, however you guys want to do this, John, I know you're familiar with a couple of the stories. Jeremy, you are as well. So I have a list here, but we can jump around, hop around, intersperse if something triggers an idea or a connection. But I thought we'd start with this one just because I have some interesting follow-up to it. This is called Nebraska's Transdimensional Gas Station, and this comes to us from Vic. And this occurred in 2020 between Kearney and Grand Island off I-80 in Nebraska.
And just to be clear, this is not the transdimensional gas station that we've done previously.
Right. Well, he heard that. You'll hear, but he heard that episode and it reminded him of an experience he had.
Apparently it's a thing out there.
All right, here we go. Let's get into that time slip. Hey, oh brothers. I've been binging The Hole at work because it makes the day go by faster. And while listening to the High Desert Expansion episode, it made me think of an experience my partner and I had about 3 years ago in October while on a road trip to Colorado from Wisconsin. The first weird happening, though not as weird as the experience on the return trip, occurred on our way out to Colorado. We were driving through exciting Nebraska, and I really needed to pee. So we pulled off at the next exit with an advertised gas station. It was somewhere between Kearney and Grand Island, off I-80, but I don't remember the exact location. So we pull into this place that's trashed and abandoned. Gas pumps are pulled out, windows broken. Nobody is here, and nobody's been here for a long time. I consider just going behind the building, but I'm held back by an intense feeling of dread and negativity. My partner and I are both pretty open to the supernatural, so we take the hint and book it out of there and travel another 20 miles or so to get to the next real gas station. Yeah, it was spooky, but that's common for an old abandoned gas station, right? So fast forward to our journey back to Wisconsin from Colorado. We had blown the transmission in my van driving up to Rocky Mountain National Park. But after a quick jerry-rigged fix, we were able to get back up on the road again. But we had to stop every couple hours to let the transmission and engine cool. It was one of these stops, which was also in Nebraska, where we pulled off on I-80 again, around Sutherland and Hershey. We drove a few miles off the freeway and found a small, what we thought was a gas station, but it had no pumps. It was broad daylight, around noon, and even though it wasn't a gas station, we decided to stop anyway and get a snack. What we found really strange about the shop was that, first of all, there was no clerk standing at the counter. And at first we assumed that they were just in the back stocking or something. The second strange thing is that none of these items at the shop were, quote, American market snacks. Everything was either German or British. This was weird, but okay. So we grab some chips and water bottles and walk up to the counter. The clerk was still not there. But after about 20 seconds or so, we see a middle-aged woman dressed in unusual gas station work attire walk out of the woods from across the street up to the gas station and position herself behind the counter. She was friendly and greeted us, but otherwise did not talk beyond telling us our total. We paid for our snacks, she thanked us, and we were on our way. My partner and I definitely found it weird that this lady walked out of the woods from across the street, but assumed she was just out for a smoke or something. We ate our chips, which were some of the best I have eaten, to be honest, and the rest of our trip was normal. Another fast forward to that upcoming spring. I was driving out to Colorado with my dad for a yearly spring break. We took the same route on I-80 as we had in the fall trip. We took the same exit that the weird shop was supposed to be on because I wanted to stop and get those same chips. However, after driving a few miles, it was clear that the shop was nowhere to be found. No sign of it. I tried to look it up on Google. I found nothing. This definitely gave me the creeps. But we went on with it and got back on the highway. We tried again on the trip back home, and still nothing. My dad and I take a yearly trip to Colorado and have tried to find it every time we've driven through Nebraska for the last 3 years since our visit to the alternate reality British gas station. Not sure if this was a weird glitch in the Matrix, transdimensional spot, or what, but I get the chills whenever I think about this. Thanks for doing what you do, Vic.
Interesting. Now, yeah. Is it possible that because they sold British and German snacks, they were not popular and they went out of business? So we couldn't find the gas station.
Really dumb.
Yeah, nice, Jared.
Why would you import specific, in the middle of nowhere, Nebraska, you're importing only English and German?
I don't know, maybe got a thing for it, you know?
Yeah, it's possible where maybe they visited there and really liked it. Who knows?
But to not find, but you'd think you'd see the building.
Yeah.
You know, unless they just tore
it
down.
It sounds like the one we did on the High Desert episode, High Desert Strangeness.
Yeah, explain that again. Refresh my memory.
I'm not going to do that because I don't remember.
Oh. Yeah, link in the show notes to that.
Yeah. I just like that. It sounds very,
Twilight Zone-y?
Yeah, or David Lynch. Just this weird gas station clerk lady walks out of the woods when they're standing in there trying to find it, trying to get some good snacks.
She walking backwards.
Walking backwards. John's making finger movements.
That's my David Lynch impression.
Oh, it's his fingers?
He does the transcendental meditation.
He's an interesting guy.
He is.
But yeah, great story. Who knows? But it is interesting. I did find a time slip case. Classic. Time slip case. I don't know. I've never heard of this because we've done a couple time slip episodes.
Another one that connects to VIX?
Yes. Well, it's in Nebraska. So.
Really?
Yeah. Nebraska University, actually. Classic case. Does this sound familiar to you guys at all? The ghost of Miss Urania Clara Mills. Does that sound familiar at all?
I know a few Uranias, so you're going to have to be a little more specific.
I'll summarize the story for you quickly, and we'll link to it. But you can find a very brief version of it in Michael Talbot's book, The Holographic Universe, which hopefully we get to this season. Basically, this takes place in the quote, haunted C.C. White Memorial Building on the campus there in Nebraska University. It's this huge brick building erected in the early 1900s, and it housed the music department where Miss Mills taught from 1912 to 1936. And on October 3rd, 1963, Miss Colleen Butterbaugh enters the rooms of Dr. Tom McCourt. So she walks in there, and she's overcome by this strong, musty odor. And right away, that sounds familiar, doesn't it, when it comes to some of these cases? And she suddenly sees this apparition of a tall, thin woman reaching for papers on the top of a shelf in an old music cabinet in the corner. She looks out the window, and this is what is very strange to her. She looks out the window, and she realizes it looks like summertime, and the sun is shining, where that was a very gray October day when she arrived at the building. And suddenly, just as quickly as it came, the ghostly scene dissipates, and the outdoor scenery returns to a gray October day. And of course, this apparition of this woman vanishes in front of her. So she tells the dean all about it, Dean Dahl, and they go on to launch an investigation and discover that those rooms belong to this Clara Urania Mills, and she had died on October 3rd, 1936. Anyway.
So she was not alive anymore.
All to be said, this was, you know, initially reported as a ghostly encounter, but then it's more of a time slip because the outdoor scenery changes to summertime. So did she walk into, you know, similar to our case here, where maybe the scenery didn't change, but suddenly there's a gas station there, they arrive,
right.
They go back, it's gone, it looks like it's never been there, can't find it on Google.
Well, how different are ghosts encounters or spirits that are seen, or the tape echo that we talk about so much, how different is that from a time slip?
Right.
Especially the tape echo.
Yeah.
Can a scene be haunted, you know, like a room where, I guess, what is the difference between a time slip and a tape echo?
Right.
It's essentially the same.
Unless you can interact with it.
Right. Unless you can like step back in time.
Right.
Which there's some great stories. Someday we should cover that story of the guy who is in college and he sees down the stairs this figure of this.
Oh, yeah.
Long-haired man, and then writes about it in his journal. It was like in the 30s or something. And then later, when this kid's going to school in the same dorm or whatever it is, campus house, he finds and reads this journal. I'm totally wrecking the story.
Yeah,
but essentially, this guy reads this journal entry.
It's an account of himself seen in the past, right?
Yeah, it's an account of himself because he's like a hippie kid.
Right.
He's got long hair, and he reads the diary entry after having an experience where he saw this other man ghost, he thought it was.
Yeah.
Down or up the stairs, looking in reverse. Essentially, you're seeing yourself overlapping in time with another person who writes it down as like a ghost experience.
Right.
When in reality, like it could just be a vision and a time slip.
Yeah.
Can you interact? It sounds like maybe. Anyways, thank you, Vic. That was a really interesting slip.
The last thing I wanted to say about it. So that CC building, the white building that was where this occurred in, was torn down in 1973.
Oh, really?
This might sound like a nothing thing. But I always, do this sound familiar to you guys?
That's that your mom graduated.
Well, that too, yes. You graduated, we bring that up a lot. We bring that up a lot because the year 1973 is the synchronistic year for the show. I don't know how many things we've covered.
Yeah.
Pascagoula abduction that we did with those weird, crabby, sort of blubbery creatures that abducted those twins. That was 1973. Project Blue Book was shut down by the Air Force in 1973. Yes, mom's high school graduation. The IONS Institute, which is Edgar Mitchell, the astronaut who was the sixth guy to walk on the moon. Who actually did a secret ESP experiment while he was up there. Didn't tell anybody he was doing this except for his friends and colleagues back home.
While he was on the moon?
Yeah, we'll get into that in a future episode on ESP this season. Really interesting account. Anyways, he starts this Institute of Noetic Sciences in 1973. Anyways, there's a lot of 1973 stuff. It seems to be the year of synchronicity connection. Yeah. And coincidentally, the IONS Institute studies synchronicity. ESP, PK, telecommunication.
Yeah.
Telecommunication. this is where AT&T started. Anyway, we can move on, but I just thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, interesting. The year it all happens. Well, thank you, Vic.
Yes.
What's next?
Next, we have a story from a listener of the show, Burton. Really, really fascinating tale. And he sent this in because, oddly, I forget when or why this happened, but I remember having this conversation where we were asking people for junkyard ghost stories.
Oh, did we ask that specifically?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I mentioned that because, you know,
we were probably talking about the
13th ghost.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, guys. My name is Bert Moran. I have actually told this story before on a few different podcasts, but I remember I was on one of your live streams and you guys had mentioned how you were looking for haunted junkyard stories or salvage yard stories. And it turns out that's exactly where I grew up. My family owned the Moran Auto Salvage out of White River, South Dakota. And we had experienced so many things that I could honestly fill up an hour for you. But I do have one story I wanted to tell you guys that, I don't know, it honestly is one of the most interesting things I remember happening out there. And it didn't happen directly to me, but I was there. So once a year, my father would hire this crew to come and crush cars after we accumulated a bunch. And we got cars from all kinds of stuff. People sell their junkyard cars out of their front yard or anything like that. And a lot of the times we got vehicles that were in violent crashes that people died in. And I remember one car in particular back in the day came in after an accident. We hauled it into the junk pile. And I remember seeing human teeth embedded in the steering wheel. Just to give you an idea of how violent these crashes get. And, you know, it leads credence to a lot of the stories that you hear about ghosts being attached to the area where they violently died. But I honestly do believe that a car itself could be haunted. So, back to the main story. We had this crew come to crush cars. And the main, like, the leader of the crew was this older Native American gentleman. His name is Tony. And Tony was a real cool guy, and he was a former Marine, and he used to tell me all kinds of cool stories. But he's not here anymore, so I'll tell this story. So it's late at night. Everybody had either gone into town, which we live 5 miles out in the country, so my dad was probably in town at the slot machines gambling, and I remember me and my brother were actually in town shooting pool with our cousin. But Tony had stayed behind, and he was using the front end loader to get all the cars stacked up that were going to be crushed the next morning for his crew. And he looks over at his van, which is parked on the other side of the fence of the junkyard, and the lights are on. So he gets out of the front end loader, he gets to the fence, and he turns the lights off. Gets back at the front end loader, continues to work for like another 5 to 10 minutes. He said he looked back and the lights came back on his van. At this point, he thinks, oh, those Moran guys are messing with me. So he gets out again, turns the lights off, but this time he locks the van. He gets back to work. 5 to 10 minutes later, the van doors are locked and the lights are back on. So he says, what the hell? I've had enough of this. I'll work in the morning. I'm not doing this. So he goes to leave. And as he's crawling into his van, he said something grabbed him by the back of the collar of his shirt and violently threw him to the ground. It wasn't like it tugged on his shirt. This thing yanked him to the ground. And he got up and there was nothing there. So he crawled back into his van and he headed out. This is where I come into play because me and my brother were actually heading home at the time. Tony was passing us on the highway. And he had his hands out the window waving us down frantically. We pulled over, and he's a Native American gentleman, as I mentioned, and he was pale white. He was terrified, and he told us, you know, I'm not working there at night ever again by myself. I'm not doing this. I won't do it at night. So we're like, okay. Well, then he went on to proceed to tell us exactly what happened. There have been so many different things happening out there. starting from when I was a child, I was almost struck by lightning multiple times. We've had full body apparitions, so many strange things I could just explain for a long time. But I did want to share that one with you guys, let you guys know that I love the show, big fan, and I appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to this one. Have a good one, guys.
Wow. Burton, thank you.
Yeah.
Answering our call for Junkyard Ghost Stories. Man, that sounds like it was the inspiration for The Juggernaut from 13 Ghosts. I don't know if you guys remember or have seen that movie with Matthew Lillard and some other actors and actresses.
Great film.
Great film.
Great film. But that always freaked me out, that scene. And this it just reminds me of that.
Oh, yeah, totally. I remember that scene now.
Where like the cars are being thrown invisibly and he puts the glasses on and then you see this giant monstery spirit.
Yeah, I was going to actually, I kind of want to drop this clip for people on YouTube watching this because it is such a freaky, actually, I don't know if we can do that. I never know anymore what, you know what, I think
they'll allow you.
I think as long as we're not playing the audio.
Yeah.
It's edited. I wanted to pull it up here.
Well, while you're looking it up, I was just going to say, it makes sense. And he made that good point there. You've got violent collisions. That's where how these cars end up there. So it makes sense that you would have attachments to a lot of these vehicles. So this, a junkyard is kind of like a graveyard in that way, where you have, if there is that spirit goo attached, the leftover stuff attached to things. What was the word we used? What was it, robot lady?
You're referencing spirit scum, the negative elements of a spiritual residue that lingers after the rest of the spirit has moved on.
Anyway, here's that clip from the legendary 13 Ghosts. Remember the scene?
You'll never pull it off. Not without the right spells. That and the 13th ghost.
13th ghost?
Get them out of my sight!
We've wasted too much time already.
Why'd you say 13?
Move the cube into position!
What's he talking about, 13 ghosts? You contracted me for 12 ghosts! The Breaker's 12! I'm done after tonight, Cyrus!
Yes, 12, and then one more! I thought you were psychic!
Not how it works, and you know it.
There is Cyrus his cape and his microphone headset.
No one can see.
Well, YouTube, they can. Anyways, great scene. But it just reminds me of that giant, powerful, very violent ghost.
Not quite as aggressive as the one in
13 Ghosts.
But yeah, definitely whatever went after that guy, I mean, that would be terrifying, obviously, to have
a physical assault.
Be in a junkyard in general is probably, and if you're working by yourself late at night, and then to have the preceding, you know, lights and locks happening, and then like a violent attack.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't go back and work at night, right?
Yeah. Said he wouldn't go back and work at night anymore.
Don't blame him.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. That's that preceding incidents that are all happening that night that maybe in the back of your mind, you're thinking like, okay, it's a prank, but maybe in the back of your mind, you are a little spooked, but not consciously. Mm-hmm. And then when something happens, that's when the dread just hits you so hard because you retroactively realize all that was something else. And you never hear about, you know, well, ghosts can't hurt you. People say that all the time. Like, well, it's just, you know, you're not going to really get hurt. But in this case, this is a juggernaut. I mean, he threw him to the ground.
Well, there's plenty of stories where I guess those are more like demonic attacks.
Yeah. Which, I mean, obviously that's
hard to know what's actually happening.
Right. But. Yeah. That could be some sort of fear. You're just feeding off all the remnants of the accidents, these cars and vehicles that are being destroyed.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. Must have been a fascinating place to grow up for sure.
Yeah. If you have more stories, Burton, feel free to send them in. Sounds like it was full of experiences.
All right. Our next unique tale, strange story, comes to us from Nadia. And this is called The Polar Bear.
Hi, my name is Nadia Tomanek. I wanted to share this story of my grandmother, Eva Reddick. She was an incredible person and has many stories, but this story is far different than most of her amazing tales of just an incredible life. She was a devout Christian and really didn't believe in anything and anything paranormal that she would hear of. She would think was related to the devil until she got way, 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 way elderly, like in her 90s, and she started being just a little bit more open-minded. But when she was a teenager, she saw this apparition in her room one day as she was alone. And in her closet, she saw a apparition of a polar bear just step out of her closet and walk into her room. it was so frightening to her because she didn't believe that there could be ghosts or apparitions or anything. It was a terrifying moment. She thought maybe this was a real polar bear. And she realized a minute into it that it was more like a ghost. And that was really confusing to her. She ended up running out of the room. And when she came back, it wasn't there anymore. She told my mother this story when my mom was young. And then later I heard the story from her, which, you know, at least it was consistent. So it's just a very strange story. My mom said she never told her anything else like that. And I never heard anything that wasn't based in reality come out of her. She was a woman who got hit by lightning when she was like 13. And later her husband passed away on Mount Everest, a very crazy story itself. And then she was a motivational speaker in the church after that, of like how to keep your family together after a death and how to like work with God. And just an amazing person, but also very strange that she would tell this story if it wasn't true. So I believe it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Nadia.
Fantastic.
Definitely one of the weirder ones as far as just,
yeah,
so random.
See, it's so terrifying.
Do polar bears have ghosts? Or, I mean, are they...
Do they have ghosts?
You know what I mean.
Do they become ghosts?
Can they be ghosts?
Sure. Why not? Yeah. Well, I mean,
dogs can, right?
Yeah, there's ghost animals. That's the thing.
For sure.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if this happened to me, I would be so thankful that it was a ghost.
Yeah.
I mean, that's terrifying. A polar bear, and she thought it was an actual polar bear at first.
Well, how do we know?
That to me is way more horrifying.
Was she living in polar regions? Why do we think it's for sure a ghost? I mean, so many things on this show we talk about, like...
Well, I think you would know that if it just disappeared.
Yeah. Well, I don't mean that it was a real polar bear.
Oh, like a shapeshifter or something?
Yeah, or an astral projection of some kind. Like, remember we had that really interesting story from the Dancing Past the Graveyard book,
mm-hmm,
where he was doing an investigation in the attic and spoke to some astral bear,
yeah,
that was there on some quest by some astral king to like go and do some sort of mission. But the concept that there are these other things that, like, maybe you see a window and, like she said, she was hit by lightning. Maybe she was more open to, you know, maybe if it wasn't a dead spirit of a polar bear, maybe it was some sort of, like, I don't know, interdimensional crossover or whatever. I mean, who knows? But
yeah, but she didn't have a conversation with this polar bear. It just freaked her out.
Yeah.
It just stepped out to scare her. Maybe unintentionally, whatever this was. But was,
yeah,
this,
it does kind of almost sound like interdimensional sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, especially if she's
so out of place,
not in a polar area, you know, unless, yeah, you know, unless it's just migrating in the
or
spirit realm.
Or was maybe millennia ago a polar area.
Yeah.
You ooh, know, like, no. Ooh, yeah, that's an interesting
millions
idea.
Millions of years ago or something.
And just, it's still just like an echo of an, yeah, old polar
we
bear.
We talked about
spirit.
Mammoth ghosts before on this show.
That's true.
There have been some recorded accounts of people seeing basically phantasms of mammoth.
Or hearing them.
Yeah.
Like you hear the trumpeting and the, you know, this giant unseen force in the woods around you. Is that the spirit, or is it an overlap of time?
Well, one of the far out idea I had when I first heard the story was like, what if, because her husband, right? This was our storyteller here. It was her grandmother who had this experience, and her husband died while hiking on Mount Everest. So at first I was, yeah, like, maybe this is like, it was a foreshadow of the death that would come to her. But then I was like, wait, do polar bears, are they,
no,
around Mount Everest?
They do not live on the mountains.
Darn, I was so close to a really
live
cool
in the Arctic
connection.
there's the Yeti and some bears, but not the polar bear.
Anyway, incredible story. I'd like to think more on that. What do you guys think out there about that story? What do you think it could be? If, do you think ghosts? Is there a spiritual migration going on? Is it some sort of astral connection to some other plane? What do you think?
Yeah, let us know in the comments below. We read everyone. So do that. But thank you, Nadia. Man, what a unique and interesting story. And it sounds like she was a wonderful woman.
Yeah.
We got another story coming up too, where the person that wrote in really wants some ideas on what it is. So
right.
If you guys definitely have ideas of what this stuff is, definitely let us know.
Absolutely.
In the comments.
You know, and what was that story we had about the guy who saw the Native American scouts he had talk to the ravens to find out where the game was?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that the one where he had told his...
It's called Quoth the Ravens, was the story you can find on our website.
Didn't he tell his daughter or granddaughter, the only one of that he thought
of the children that would believe.
Yeah, exactly.
Open to it, mm-hmm. Because that was another, again, another example of this very Christian person who didn't want to go outside of their beliefs in speaking about stuff, or they usually didn't, very straightforward. And then they have this wild
also
story.
Also the time period. Yeah, for sure.
Anyways, thanks again, Nadia. That was fantastic.
Yes, yes.
What's next?
Yes, the next one is called Night Watch Wraith. And this comes from Johnny.
Hey guys, my name is Johnny. I just have a story that I'd like to share. So I know you guys have talked a lot about shadow people, and one story that comes to mind was a few years ago, back in 2007. I just gotten back from a tour in Iraq, and we were doing some training out in the, I believe it was the George Washington National Forest in Virginia. So at nighttime, someone always has to post watch at the vehicle that has all the ammo. And because it's technically an area where civilians can come in, we're supposed to, if we see someone coming, talk to them in a specific way. We say, United States Marine Corps, please state your business. So it was my turn around, I want to say it was like 2 to 3 o'clock in the morning. And where we sleep, we keep the ammo and explosives a good distance away for safety reasons. So where I was at was on a dirt road, and there was absolutely no light. I want to say it was a pretty cloudy night, so everything was pretty dark. I suddenly start to hear some footsteps, like someone walking on the dirt road. And I was already kind of freaked out because, you know, the dark can play tricks with your eyes. And I'm looking to my left, and I see someone coming. But what was weird about it was, even though it's in the dark, whoever this was, I couldn't see any features whatsoever. And they were walking at a very slow pace. It got to the point to where they were literally right in front of me. And I started to say, United States Marine Corps, please state your business. But all I got out was, United States Marine Corps, because they were, by the time they were like, I would say less than a foot in front of my face, I realized that I wasn't looking at something human. And they just kept walking, and I could tell the face was turning to look at me, but there were no features at all. And I just stopped talking and let this entity continue walking. And it passed me, and I just stood frozen. And I watched it leave, and it kept walking up the dirt road. And honestly, I wouldn't say I was frozen in fear, but I was pretty close to it. And then, thankfully, within about 5 minutes after that happened, one of my sergeants came to relieve me early because he had gotten in trouble, and they just told him to relieve me and post-watch. And I didn't tell him about what had happened because I didn't want to sound like I was a lunatic. But anyway, yeah, that's my story. I really like what you guys do. Keep doing what you're doing. It's awesome stuff. And thanks for letting me share. Bye.
Heck yeah.
Cool story.
Yeah.
Yeah, fascinating.
I love that line where he said, as it got up to me, I could tell it was turning its head to look at me, but it had no facial features, and so I just stopped talking.
Yeah.
Let it go on its way.
United States Marine Corps.
Yeah. Okay.
Ooh, maybe I will not get its attention.
Yeah. Pretty terrifying.
Yeah, apparently, I didn't know this, but the Washington National Forest, or the George Washington and Jefferson National Forest, is one of the most haunted forests in North America.
Really?
Allegedly.
Where is it at?
It's in Virginia, West Virginia.
Oh, okay.
One of the Virginias.
Makes sense.
Virginia. I always get them confused. But yeah, there's been murders, I guess, 2003. Tragically, a kid was murdered by gang members and thrown into a pond there. Brayley Pond's one of the most haunted places. It just sounds like a creepy, very densely forested forest.
It looks beautiful, though.
Of forest trees, yeah.
Dangerous beauty.
But fascinating. The facelessness is extra creepy. That's kind of a thing. It's become more of a urban legend-y, creepypasta visualization, the Slender Man kind of faceless entity. But I wondered if there was anything in folklore and these kinds of things.
Well, you hear a lot in just spooky specter stories. You know, we had a similar one, and I think it was Baghdad, where someone was on duty, again, guard duty of some kind, where this apparition of a figure of a local Afghani citizen or whatever walked
Iraq
up and then
or had Afghanistan.
Which one did I say?
You said Iraq.
One of the, I don't know. That's pretty common when it comes to spiritual nature, spectery things, I feel like.
Well, the Iroquois who are in this area or have been in this area had the legend of the faceless doll.
Creepy.
Yeah. But it was more of a legend about the doll. And you can still buy these corn husk dolls.
Oh, yeah. I've seen those. Faces. Yeah.
It goes back to a tale about the great spirit taking away the face of this doll because she, it's kind of like the story of a Narcissus.
Narcissus.
Yeah. The Greek story. Basically the
vanity.
The vanity.
Tale.
And so he just took the face away. Less creepy. But anyways, yeah. Fascinating story. Thank you so much for that, Johnny. Really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you for your service.
Could be a cool future episode in that park.
Yeah, for sure. And with the military thing, like you said, the other account we had that also took place with a military service member on duty, could it also be, I don't know, was there any translucent, because I know we have one that's related to the Glimmer Man. And the question is, it always goes back to the idea of people suggest some of this is technology. Could there be some sort of testing going on?
Oh, yeah.
Can I pass by and go undetected?
Right.
By these military members, maybe this is going by the ammo dump, you know, high security area, or at least somebody, where someone's gonna be on watch. I'm gonna test this other black ops military,
right? Dark project
Glimmer Man suit on, and it just all it did at this point was disguise the face, but you could see the outline of the person. I don't know.
That's a more fun explanation.
Yeah, but who knows? Anyways, thanks so much, man. That was a great story.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys want to take a break?
Sure.
What's going on for expansion?
Oh, what isn't going on for the expansion? So the members only episode, the expansion. Yeah. What's coming up?
Man, it is going to be a strange myriad of tales and exploration into, number one, a little something called the Swamp of Fear, which may or may not include giant white worms.
Cool.
It sounds a little strange, a little silly, but it is fascinating and weird and kind of gross. So if you're into that, I definitely recommend checking it out. And speaking of gross, definitely stick around to the second half of the expansion. When Chris, what do you got coming up? Something about books of skin?
Skin books, yes. We'll be getting to that. But you're jumping the gun. We're going to be talking about the secret operation to create Commando Lava, a.k.a. Vietnam Mud.
Oh, yeah.
During the Vietnam War.
Strange stuff.
Yeah, strange stuff. And also cursed objects, specifically a chest that went through generations of family and caused some pretty tragic havoc.
Tragic Havoc sounds like an awesome 80s hair band.
Tragic Havoc! It does, but in real life it's sad.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But it is a fascinating story. We're going to cut through some of the folklore and the pseudonyms and get to the true history of this tale of the cursed chest.
That's right.
Yeah, and then we'll get to skin books.
Yeah.
It's going to be a smattering of strangeness.
A smattering, yes. Yes, it's a really fun episode, guys. So come check it out. Lots of laughs, lots of strange stuff, lots of puns, probably.
Yeah.
I think you guys are going to dig it. If you want to hear that, guys, go to Bluefool.com and click on the big red Join the Expansion button, and we will see you there.
Yes!
Without further ado, here's a quick clip, and then we'll get back to our remaining stories of the evening.
Access granted.
But as the legend holds, somewhere at the thresholds of the Manchurian Korean Mountains, there's this anomalous zone, as it's known, called Baochu, or the Swamp of Fear. Now, according to legend, in the middle of the last century, over 100 soldiers, from what army, I don't know, disappeared in these places, and then were discovered later on as completely preserved corpses found by local residents, and they're still allegedly finding them today. It's kind of like the Gettysburg of, of these strange swamps.
Weird.
Belief hole.
Welcome back.
Hi.
Hey.
All right. We hope you enjoyed that break that you took.
That we all took.
Your 30-second break.
We enjoyed it with you.
Did you go potty?
I did.
Hope you enjoyed that clip of the expansion episode. Again, go to Bleeful.com and click on the big red Join the Expansion button
to get all that saucy magic. Yeah. And speaking of the expansion, if you are an expansion member, we have an update for you. A lot of people have been asking about the Discord development. And I'm happy to say that by the next episode, I believe we should be launching Discord for members. Eventually, we may have a public version. We're not sure at this point, but because of all the development requirements, right now it's just for members. So sign up for the expansion if you want to get on the Belief Hole Discord. And we may be launching it right after the premiere of the next episode, the YouTube premiere. But we'll update you guys with that on the next episode and send emails to members and publish stuff on social media. So keep your eyes and ears peeled.
Yes!
Awesome.
All right, guys, what is next on the list? All right, next we have, this is a great story. Oh, from Tommy. Yeah. Yeah, this comes from Tommy in Arkansas. Harrison, Arkansas is where this took place, to be exact. And this occurred in 2007, a fantastic year. And we call this White Hair and Red Eyes.
Here is kind of a backstory. Back in the late 90s, there was a group of brothers who lived in my neighborhood, but all died within a rock's throw of my house. The youngest of the three died about 4 years ago in a freak accident. Two were killed in freak accidents, and one committed suicide in the road at the end of our property. There was also a witchcraft cult that used to do their sacrifices on the creek below my house. You would go down there and find where they had sacrificed white and black roosters. Anyway, it was late summer in 07, and I was about 7 at the time, and we were playing in the ruins of a neighboring house that we had torn down. My family bought it and wanted the land for something else. There we were, my two brothers and one of our friends, playing in the scrap trying to build a fort. It began to get dark and they decided they were going to go inside and watch a movie, but I wanted to hang around and play some more. Well, it got down to the last few moments of dusk and it just got chilly all of a sudden. And I had this feeling something was there with me. So I spun around to see what it was. My heart sank when I saw it. There behind me, walking slowly down the road toward the creek, was this thing. It was about the average height of a man, but looked like it was covered in hair. As I turned to look at it, it turned its head to look at me in the eyes as it kept walking. It didn't have any defining features besides the fact that it had glowing red eyes, and its body looked like it was covered in white smoke-looking hair. Perhaps it wasn't exactly hair, but it kind of looked like it. Anyway, it kept walking and just glared at me. Then it passed by a tree that was close to the road and vanished into thin air. I had been frozen stiff in what was half fear and half curiosity, almost like I had been hypnotized. But the minute it vanished, I turned and ran home, which thankfully was only next door. I have not been able to find anything about the thing I saw. I live outside of town, but I'm not even a mile from the city limits. There was a massive cave system at the far end of my neighbor's property, and I've heard stories of it going under the entire town of Harrison and no one ever finding the end of the tunnels. Game and Fish has these entrances sealed off to keep people from being lost in there. There are still a few caves that they miss, though. I've tried to research it and I can't find anything. But if you ask the older locals, they swear that this cave system goes on forever and that the end has never been found. I wonder if the caves in this cult have anything to do with it. I don't care about the story getting out. That's not important. All I want is to know what it was that I saw. Please email me if you know or can find out so I can finally stop wondering about it. I've been trying to find out for almost 17 years, and I'd like to know. Well, unfortunately, you probably will always wonder about it to some degree, because it's all going to be conjecture. But that being said...
very hopeful.
Well, there's going to be no finality to it, well, for right. Sure.
Yeah, we can't promise anything. Just looking
for nodes of truth.
But if you have ever heard of anything like that, our lovely listeners out there, with the red eyes and the, what was it, the white-ish hair?
Yeah, it was like a white hair covering the body, but he said it might not have been hair. It was almost sort of like more of a...
like a wispy...
Yeah. Well, the cult connection is really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You hear about a lot of cult activity, especially when it comes to like darker ritualistic practices that allegedly can summon entities. And then he also asked the question about the caves.
Mm-hmm. And we hear all the time about, you know, things that might be from underneath us.
Yeah.
And beneath us. And
caves and cults.
Caves and cults, man. That could be its own show.
Well, also the sad death that took place right on that property, or at the edge of the property. It always makes me think of grief eaters, fear eaters.
Exactly.
That kind of thing.
That's what I was picturing listening back to the story, with some kind of
something drawn there because of the tragedy.
Some evil eater of sorts.
There is a, in Arkansas, and maybe I didn't have time to get into like a deep dive on it, but there's a local cemetery, but it's in Jacksonport. I don't know how close that is to Harrison, but there is a cemetery known as Red Eye Cemetery because of the red-eyed entities seen.
Oh, wait. White hair.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking white thing initially when I heard.
Alabama?
But it's Alabama.
But great story, Tommy. Fascinating account, and it raises a lot of good questions too.
Yeah,
especially with that kind of phenomena.
Yeah, let us know if you have any ideas in the comments. Give Tommy some closure.
Absolutely, guys, for sure. Next on the list is a story from Farsom.
Ah, yes.
This took place in March 2008 in Sterling, Virginia, and Charlestown, West Virginia, and this is called Gatekeeper.
I'm 33 years old and have lived in the Appalachian area for most of my life, and I want to talk about something that happened to me when I was 18. One night, I had friends over after a football game, and everyone, all eight of them, decided to just crash at my place. We were all in the large sunroom of my home, which was all windows facing my backyard. The backyard was around an acre, so pretty big for a suburban house. We were just messing around and listening to music, doing what high schoolers do. Most of the lights were off. One of my friends said,
"Hold up, what the heck was that?"
I asked him what he was talking about, and he said,
"Something white just ran across the backyard."
But then another person saw it. I, at this point, didn't know if they were just messing around or if something was actually out there. 10 minutes later, I see a giant white mist thing float across the backyard. And as soon as it reached the other side, it swung my fence door open and started shaking the entire fence. We had no clue what it was, but I just told them not to worry about it and closed all the blinds because I didn't want to scare them any more than they already were. You see, I wasn't surprised. I've had a ton of stuff happen to me and my family that was paranormal or unexplainable, so I just don't ask questions anymore. Especially considering most of my friends or anyone I talk to would think I was crazy if I admit half the stuff that's happened. So anyway, the next day, I was laying on my bed and on the phone with my girlfriend at the time. It was right after school, so no one had come home yet. My bedroom door was open, but only by a little, and all of the windows were shut. I had the AC off too, because it was a little cold out, but fine inside the house. So when I hang up the phone, I get off my bed, and I try to open the door, and the door suddenly slams shut in my face. I immediately assume someone's home, and they're messing with me, but then the doorknob twists on its own. The door swings wide open, and no one is there. It slams again, but this time faster. Then again, open, slams. I'm terrified when eventually it stops. So I run out and downstairs, looking all around me. And freaking out, I run out of the house and call my parents and tell them, "Yeah, we gotta move." I didn't go back inside until they came home. I don't know how to explain any of that, but yeah, tons of crap has happened to us our whole lives. Door slamming. TVs literally levitating in front of our eyes. This one's weird. Perfect pyramid-shaped piles of coins popping up in random locations. And it's none of us that do this. We've had an old lady that just appears randomly and talks to people. And we have all seen her on different occasions. But there are no old women left in the family. This all probably stemmed from me playing with a Ouija board when I was a kid, and the thing just snapped in half on its own. It scared the hell out of me and my cousin, but we didn't dispose of it properly, and now I have no idea where it is. Anyways, love the pod, Keep up the great work, Farsom.
Oh, man.
Thanks, Farsom.
Don't use the Ouija board, and if you do, make sure you close it down.
Oh, is he the one who sent that Ouija board story?
Yeah, that was the story that broke in half. That was the whole background, or I guess follow-up, what happened after that experience.
Oh, that's right. We asked him to follow up with more craziness from post-Ouija board snapping.
Yeah.
Just reminds me of snapping a glow stick at a rave. Like, you don't know what kind of...
The demon party starts.
Yeah. What kind of party is going to be cracking off at that point?
Yeah. I mean, crazy stuff, for sure.
Not a nice one.
I mean, John, you said weird when you heard the coin pyramids.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, I hear the whole coin connection with apports or with, you know, people who've lost people and then they see dimes everywhere or whatever. But stacked pyramids, that's definitely a pretty intense visual. Just coming across, you're in their bathroom, there's suddenly a stacked placement of a pyramid of coins.
I'd be coming over there all the time.
Ghost has a hobby.
Collecting my money.
An OCD ghost, just stacking pyramids around the house.
Thanks for the sodas.
I'm getting gumballs. Okay, that was really cheesy.
Gumballs. All right, Farsom, thank you for that.
By far, I think the creepiest one, I mean, the fence shaking, the door slamming, that's always, I'm sure, scary. I feel like that's happened to me, but I probably hasn't. I think I remember it clearly.
I've seen a white mist in my day.
Yes, you have. But the old lady appearing randomly and speaking to different members of the families, that's definitely pretty...
That's new.
Yeah, that's new. Pretty freaky. But yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, I hope it's been a little more peaceful in your neck of the woods.
Yeah.
Since the days of the Ouija chaos.
Well, to move further down the line of strangeness, what do we have next year?
This next one is really unique.
Oh, yeah. I remember this.
I think you'd like this, John, if you haven't heard it yet. Because it points to possible reality about life before, or even a life intercepted, which is kind of a strange idea. This comes from Robin.
Sounds like a Glenn Close movie.
What?
I don't know. Life Intercepted.
Girl Interrupted?
There you go.
Winona Ryder? This comes from Robin, and I think she called it something different. I think she might have titled this...
Coming Online?
I think she titled it How I Came to Be.
Oh, that's right. But she says that in the story, I think.
Yeah, I like the phrase she used in the story, When I Came Online. So I called it that, Coming Online. But it's a great story. Let's play it up.
All right, ready?
Let's play it.
I just listened to your newest episode with the guys from Expanded Perspective, I think is the name of their podcast. And... for a little bit, you guys touched on believing that we come from something before we come into this lifetime. So I thought you would be interested in my story. So the story is a little weird, but I'm trying to get more comfortable sharing it because I want to see if other people, if anybody out there has a similar story. So I call this When I Came to Be. Because what I remember is seeing flashes of memory, and then I opened my eyes. But I didn't know who I was. I didn't know where I was. I was very confused. I had no memory of anything. I was about 4 years old at this time. So I wake up in bed. I want to say it was the middle of the day. I remember daylight. And I just asked to myself, who am I? And this group of beings are in front of me. But the only way that I can describe them is that they were shadow people, because I didn't see any detail, but I saw their silhouette, and it was a group of them. And they told me that my name was Robin. They told me that I was at home. I got out of bed and opened my bedroom door, and I saw a little girl out there. And I said to myself, who is that? And they said, that's your sister. And they told me her name. And I went up to her and I said, do you remember waking up and not remembering anything? And she looked at me and she said, you're weird. And she ran off. And the beings who are still with me, I can still see them, tell me not to tell anybody. The words they used were, they are not ready yet. And I just said, okay. I had complete trust in them. I was absolutely comfortable with them. I said, okay. And I ran off. And I was a 4-year-old little girl named Robin. And, you know, that was the thing that
introduced me to all this paranormal stuff and everything I've always been into, and I've always been able to see things and hear things and interact with things, and to me all that stuff is just normal, and I've never been afraid of death, and I know that there's something after this and there's something more to who we are. You know, to me it feels like common knowledge to me. So that's my story. If I think of anything other than that, I will call you guys and share more stories. Have a good one.
Thank you for that story. Wow.
I love stories like that.
Yeah.
And definitely along the lines of how I think.
Yeah. Yeah, cheers, Robin. Really unique. Sounded like she was being installed.
Sounds like a walk-in. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I want to know what happened to the girl that was there before. She came in at 4 years old.
Maybe she just didn't want to be there anymore.
Maybe. Maybe she was like, I'm tapping out. And I need a walk-in. I need a tap-in.
Or it was planned. Maybe she just wanted 4 years of that life to get whatever experience she needed, and then there was a transition.
Oh, man. Do you just reminded me of it. Did I tell this on the show before, John? You let me know if I told this story in the show. We were, I don't know how old we were,
Jeremy. I know what you're going to say.
Must have been 93 or something. We just moved into the house in Clinton, by the stairs. And Jeremy was at the top of the staircase, and I came around, and I looked up at him, and I just started yelling,
"You're not my brother.
You're not my brother. You're not my Jeremy. You're not my brother." And for, I don't know, Mom thought she was going to have to call someone because I was hysterical. This went on for a few hours. And eventually, like, I don't remember how it ended. You have to ask Mom.
Mm-hmm.
But she thought I was losing my mind. I was having some sort of mental breakdown.
Eventually, I was able to trick you and convince you that I am, I am your brother.
You were my original twin brother. It was a very strange experience. I still remember that feeling.
I remember that.
Yeah. You're not.
Where's the gondola?
Yeah, what's that from?
I was watching home videos of
so John
you.
Goes home at night and just watches home videos of us as children because he
Dad,
misses
I
it.
I want to see the gondola.
That's not true. You were a handful.
I know. I've heard this.
Maybe I'll see if I can find that clip.
Yeah. But I wonder if Jeremy was a walk-in.
I might have been.
Or maybe.
I feel like I might have been. I feel like
you're
I,
his guardian.
That's why I came here to make sure Chris is.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't there a story behind
is
that?
Manning
too?
Up. And dealing
Didn't
with life.
Jeremy say something to Mom about?
Yeah, something like I came here to watch over him or something.
That was before, though.
Because Chris can get lost.
I don't think you need my help anymore. I'm pretty good.
I'm pretty sure you
I think
do.
We can take a break. I'm all right. We can take a break.
I'll be fine.
I'll be fine. Anyway,
no, you're doing great, kid.
Thanks,
you're doing,
bud.
You're doing
Thanks,
great.
Guardian. Guardian
Jeremy. I got
Jeremy, the unfortunate guardian. Inside joke.
Anyway, hope you guys enjoyed that story. Thank you for sharing that story. What a unique account.
Yeah, Robin, that was swell. Really appreciate that.
I mean, that's definitely an episode I would like to do. We kind of started to talk about doing a walk-in episode at one point, and the book I was looking at just sounded way too... We're pretty open-minded in the belief hole, but this one was... The one I was looking at was pretty out there, and it was hard to find tangible aspects to grab within the text of the book, but I will look again because... It's definitely a fascinating topic, even if we just gather experiences from people's personal accounts of having those experiences.
Yeah. I mean, especially when you hear it from someone who's actually gone through it. It's easy to read something and be like, okay, I don't know. But then mm-hmm. to hear someone tell their story.
Yeah.
And some of the specific attributes about just having a memory that's so clear and it's your first memory and it's 4 years old and nothing before that.
Yeah.
You know, if you take her at her word, it's a fascinating perspective and story.
Yeah. And I often wonder about the connection between whatever you believe the abductors are that come and take people away, or what people's close encounters are with what we typically think of as extraterrestrial or interdimensional or inner earthial, the spiritual nature to ET abduction phenomenon, and how much of that connects to what goes on before and after life. There's a lot of ideas out there and some pretty terrifying concepts we've talked about before, like, you know, the shield over the earth, the soul shields and mm-hmm. crazy stuff that I hope isn't true, but you got to wonder.
Like the wind walkers or whatever.
Whatever, yeah. Wing makers.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's all fascinating. But yeah, it would be an interesting episode to do for sure. Well, we thank everyone who shared their story today. Definitely check out the Listener Story Archive, the Strange Listener Story Archive. It's growing. We'll be continuing to publish there. For those of you who haven't heard your stories yet, you may still hear them on the show. We kind of jump around in there. And if you don't hear your story on the show, it's hard to see all of them at this point. We get so many great submissions. But
over 300 stories.
Yeah. We're going to try to let everybody know who has had their story premiered at some point. So hopefully we get to that in the next few weeks. But yeah, thank you guys for joining us in the belief hole. And
absolutely. Thank you guys so much. And speaking of thank yous, with everything going on in the back end, we didn't have time to get to thank yous this episode. But if you haven't heard your name yet, stay tuned.
It's coming.
Yes.
If you signed up at the Black Eyed Cool Kid tier and up, just wait.
All right, guys, we will see you in the expansion if you are so lucky to talk about worms and skin books.
Absolutely.
And until next time.
Goodbye, everybody.
We'll see you next time on Belief Hole.